morning, good evening. It's good to laugh. First, I want to thank everybody that's helping us from the online church and everybody that's helping us. We are viewers supported and could not do this without you. And we want to thank you for that. And if you can no longer find us on YouTube, if that happens, Facebook, livinginhispresence.org is our website. A lot of people I know got purged last week. A lot of their videos got purged. So, and I also want to remind you, listen to my older YouTubes while they're still up. I talked a lot about what we're living in now, especially in the New Apostolic Reformation, narcissism, the new order that we're living in. This is a global, as you know, we're in a global reset. And this is not just resetting our social lives, it's resetting everything. It's a global reset. And if you need some more information on that, there is a book called The Great Reset by Schwab. And I'm not going to get any more into that so I don't get taken down. But I have the book and I haven't finished it yet. It's wow. But it talks about things that this is a great opportunity. And you better get in there and use this opportunity to reset everything. So we know about this, but I want to encourage everybody in the Lord, and I want to encourage you that are battle fatigued. We're going to continue what we've been talking about. We need our strength from the Lord right now. It's hard because people don't want to listen. They don't want to see beyond their fear porn media of what's really, really going on. But we're in a global circus, and there's things going on in the background that you that have eyes to see and ears to hear and that have been awake, this is not the time to spiritually fall asleep. The Lord's told us in his word to watch. What are we supposed to watch? We watch because we're living in a dark day, and terrible times are upon the earth. And those that know the Lord, we're supposed to be strengthened in him. No matter what happens, he's with us. Through the fire, through the wind, through the rains, he's with us. So we get our hope and our strength from that. But today I want to go into a little more detail about battle fatigue. Because we get tired. We get tired of the news. We get tired of more lockdowns. We get tired of people not understanding what's really going on. And an old friend from 40 years called me and just said, I want to encourage you in the Lord. You're trying to tell everyone a bridge is out and no one wants to hear. And I said, that's kind of it. The bridge is out and nobody wants to hear. They want to think the bridge is fine and we're all going to cross it like we always have. We're in a crossroads in the world now. And we need to know that God's with us. We are soldiers. We're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier. We're in war. We're in spiritual war. And how do we not get tired? So in 2 Samuel, don't turn there, turn to Hebrews 12, but while you're turning there, I'll just read 2 Samuel 23:10. Eleazar, who was one of David's mighty men while defeating the Philistines, he arose and struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. He fought and fought and fought and fought, and he got tired. People get tired. I don't care how strong in the Lord you are. Battles hit us. Things come from the outside. Sometimes things come from within. Battles happen. We're like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. You get blindsided and you get discouraged. You fall down. You need people sometimes to help you get back up again. But the key is we have to stay and keep up because we have people that are depending on us. We need to be strong for our families. Even if they don't want to hear it right now, there's going to come a time when the people that see things, they have answers where other people don't have answers. They're confused. So symptoms of combat, the real combat troops, they have nightmares. They can't sleep. They have anxiety attacks, depression. They have pain. They have shell shock. I think about my dad that was in World War II. He never would talk about it because it was too hard to even talk about. Who knows if they had to kill children and women? I mean, who can even imagine in warfare the things that have gone on? Well, we also now are in a war. We're in a spiritual war. And the enemy's trying to take the faith. faith from the earth. The Lord says in the Bible, he says, will I find any faith on the earth? Well, you're kind of wondering, because a lot of Christians are falling off by the wayside. They don't even read. They don't go to church. They don't want any part. They're just a part of the world now. They don't even want to hear about it. Well, he let us down, or all churches are bad. All preachers just want this or that. No, there's always been the enemy trying to steal your walk with God. And that's why we're trying to direct everyone back to the Bible and to the Lord of the Bible. But we can get weary. It's a state of being tired, worn out, mentally fatigued. And you're like a rundown battery. A battery only goes so long, and it needs to be recharged. You can only go so long, and you need to be recharged. You need to be refilled. Amen. In the church, people have been betrayed. They feel like there's a great apostasy. Who can I listen to? Who can I trust? Use this time to go back into your Bible. Start reading the Bible for yourself. Instead of thinking you don't understand the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit. And just sometimes you just read a chapter and you just, whoa, some people don't read at all. I just encourage you, start. Well, where do I start? Start in the Psalms. Start in the Proverbs. Start in the book of John. Start somewhere. And get filled back up again. But there was a true story about a woman who telephoned a friend and asked how she was feeling. She said, I'm feeling terrible. She said, my head's splitting, my back hurts, my legs are killing me, the house is a mess, the kids are driving me crazy. The very sympathetic caller said, listen, go lie down. I'll come over right away. I'm going to cook lunch for you. I'm going to clean up your house. I'm going to take care of the children while you get some rest. By the way, how's Sam? 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 Who's Sam? Oh, no, she said. I must have dialed the wrong number. She tiredly said, will you still come over? We all get tired. We all get burned out. We all need help. Sometimes we just need a helping hand. We need someone that understands. We get burned out. We lack strength. And when you lack strength, like this mother, she just couldn't function properly. You just are on that last nerve. Have you ever had a kid that just got on your last nerve? You had just that last nerve. So now in here in Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews 12. I just wanted to share that about battle fatigue, because we have to run our race. And some of you might be tired right now. We all get tired. But there's refreshing for us. There's encouragement for us. And we want to find some of that out today. Wherefore, seeing who are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And let us, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have an eternal race that we're running. And that word patience means, some people won't like this, but run your race with patience. It implies suffering. It implies enduring. It implies waiting. It also implies endure without complaining. Ouch! Hallelujah! Endure without complaining for the wrongs and the evils and that we meet with in life. People are off the rails now. They're very on edge. There's like a spirit of sorrow across the world because things are being taken away. Our life that we know it is gone. And people have to figure out how to survive what's coming now that everyone's going into a second wave, which I warned you about. There would be a second wave, and the second wave was going to have a lot more restrictions because there's a lot that agendas that they want to accomplish during these lockdowns. And if you just only know one narrative, you're not going to understand what's really going on. I'm not going to get into that. But what do? You look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We got to keep focused on Jesus. Not on the right, not on the left, not on this or that. There's going to be chaos, and we've talked about order out of chaos. Martial law, a lot of these things are going to come into play in the future. We got to keep our eyes on the joy that's set before us. despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and you faint in your minds. So fainting is what a lot of people are doing right now. They're afraid. They're hiding. They're afraid to do anything. They're worn out and they're tired. So we have to know we're in a race. And it's not a 50-yard dash. We always knew this, but a lot of us were in the era that the church was popular and it was the thing to go to and it was a place for entertainment. It was a place to get ear tickled. Well, now things are changing and there's coming a shaking in the churches and even gatherings, period. So our race is more like an obstacle course. Now, in the military, they have an obstacle course and boot camp, and they have to get over hurdles and fences and walls and ditches. Well, we also have things we've got to deal with. We're going to have to deal with deception. That's going to be like a ditch, a trial, friendly fire. People that we thought were on our side, something happened and now they're mad. They shot you in the foot. rejection, being offended. We have to be very careful not to be offended in this hour because all of us have different viewpoints. Some of us see a little, some see more, some people see something else, and some people don't want to see nothing. And that makes you mad. It's like, and you just have to not be offended and constantly put things in God's hands. So, like, Lord, I can't control people. I can't make them act this way. I need help myself. So you keep constantly what? That relationship, that abiding with him, because we grow weary. Moses grew weary. You say, well, I'm just not spiritual enough. Well, I think he was kind of spiritual, but he got weary. In Exodus 17:12, his hands were heavy and he grew weary. But look at God had Aaron and Hur right there. Know who's in your life that you can talk to. There's some people you don't want to talk to right now. There's other people that you know we're on the same page. You're not going to agree with everything about everything, and that's okay. It's not the hill you want to die on. But you got to have people that you can talk to and fellowship with. Aaron and Hur were there for Moses, and God will have an Aaron and Hur for you. I believe he will. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, and they put a stone under him while he sat. And we know that stone represents Christ. He is the rock. And sometimes we just have to sit. We have to let God strengthen us. We have to let other people help. Let other people lift our hands. Oh, and the interesting thing about that scripture was, let's see if I can find it now. Well, basically it was the Lord said we will have a war and a battle with the Amalekites from generation to generation. So the war hasn't stopped. Even though Moses is dead and gone, the battle, the people, what was Esau, the grandchildren and all the descendants of Esau always attack the people of God. So there's always going to be a war with Amalekites. There's always going to be those that hate God, that are fighting against God and his people. Ultimately, the battle is the Lord's, right? So we have to not grow weary, even though there's times we grow weary. We have to keep filled. We have to keep filled. Refrigerators get empty, and you fill them. You just kept eating out of your refrigerator. You wouldn't have nothing left if you never go to the store and replenish it. Our bank accounts, if you don't ever put more money back in the bank, it's gone. Hello? Our gas tanks, if we don't ever replenish our gas tanks. And some people do that. They just live on fumes. You know, fume to fume. Fume to fume. Oh. We get weary because we're doing the right thing and we don't see progress. We're trying to tell people what's coming and they don't want to hear us. You're praying for your prodigal son and they don't want to come home. You're praying for your child to marry the right one and they married a narc. On and on and on we go. It gets weary because you thought you did your best, and then you look back and then you see where you missed it too. And just, wow, I thought I was doing the right thing. It's amazing how we think we're doing the right thing, but we look back and we're like, wow, missed it there. Happened to anyone? Galatians 6, 8 through 10 says we get weary in well-doing. Continual waiting, seeing no changes. What's a cause of weariness? So many different things. We need rest. What is rest? It's a vacation for the mind. Some people go on vacations, but they don't give their mind a rest. They don't know how to even rest their mind. I encourage all of you, shut your news off. Amen. You need a rest from the fear porn, how you're going to die. I mean, they're basically just putting fear in. Because there's a new agenda coming. There's some agendas coming for the miracle cure they all want you to have. I'm not going to get into that. But change causes weariness. When you want to plan, and all of a sudden now there's so much insecurities, you don't know how to plan. Is this going to be open? Is that going to be? Can I invest here? Can I travel here? Can I go on a trip? Everything's changing. It causes a weariness, especially for the planners. Some people just whisk along as they go, but there's planners out there. They plan. And this change causes a great weariness. This store's closed now. I used to go there all the time. It's gone. It produces fear of the unknown. The fear of the unknown, what's going to happen next week? Just heard someone sent me a text. Changes are coming again for this week, for more restrictions. It causes weariness. It's like, I don't even want to see that talking head. I want to shut him off. Sorry. Moses, in Numbers 21, 4 through 5, he got weary in setbacks and he had hindrances because a sinful king didn't want them to go through his land. So they had to go roundabout. They couldn't go through. In the book of Numbers 21, 20, verse 4 and 5. So they had to go through. They had much more troubles because they had to go around. They had to go through the plains and the mountains and they could have went just right through. It would have been so easy, but detours cause us to be discouraged. It's going to take so much longer now. And continual weariness can lead to dehydration and starvation. Way back in the day, about 2005, I ended up in the emergency room. And I was going through a lot of narcissistic abuse, a lot of narcissistic situations, which I didn't even know that was at the time. But there was so much going on that I was literally fighting for my life. And I remember when I went to the ER, I walked through the door and I fainted. I thought I got to the hospital, I passed out. I'm sharing this because this is where a lot of people are. They're tired, they're discouraged. And I was burning up on one part of my body and I was frozen on the other. It was the weirdest thing. And I just got in through the doors and I passed out. And I remember waking up and they had IVs in me and they said, you're totally dehydrated. You know, you can die from dehydration. And so all they did was put water in me a couple of those bag things coming in through the IVs, and then they sent me home. And basically, it's amazing how they don't tell you anything. They just, bye. When you're dehydrated, it takes a while to come back. You just can't just drink a couple glasses of water. You're still dehydrated. You're in serious condition. And I was in serious condition because I was tired. I was weary. I was cut off from a lot of people that I loved, not by my choice. I won't go into it all, but it leads to dehydration and starvation and really death. If you don't keep filled, you'll spiritually just fall away. And the things of the world will become your reality and you'll forget about God and his people. You forget about all the things you've learned because you're in a battle now and you're so empty that you're in trouble. Before your car tank light goes on, it flashes red. What do you do when that red light comes on? Some people do nothing. Oh, I still have time. I still have this. Well, nowadays there's gas stations that are closed everywhere. You better not just live on a fume. But that happens to us spiritually. All of a sudden you have no joy, no peace. All of a sudden you have no patience. You're just so edgy. That's a red warning sign that you're empty, that you're needing a refill. You need to take time. You need to step aside and get filled back up. If you've lost your patience and your love of life, you have to step aside. Even though we're in a world that's gone mad, we haven't really seen anything yet, I believe. So we have to stay filled. I can go to my car and it won't move. I could tow it. I could tow it to another neighborhood. I could change its scenery. Still needs gas. Some people just go from another church. The problem is you're not filled, but you just go from place to place to place to place. If I change the scenery, then it's going to be all better. You can tow it. You can paint it. Just dye your hair another color. Improve its appearance. Go get lifted, tucked, whatever you want. I don't care what you do. Just do whatever you got to do. But the outward man is perishing. We got to fix the inward man. We got to deal with the inward man as well. And it is weary looking, saying, oh my gosh, we're getting old. We're getting older. We can push it into traffic. That empty car that's got no gas, we can push it into traffic and hope it'll be motivated and psych it up. We can go to a life coach. We can go to a conference. Well, now you can't. You can give it a pep talk. You can do all these things. I can give it a motivational, intellectual speech. It needs gas. It's never going to run again. Well, some people know that, and so they put $3 in. You're not going to go very far on $3. Spiritually, you need to be filled. You need to spend time. You need to get away from all the chaos. You got to get filled up. So when the red light comes, we need to run to a gas station. We need to go to our filling station. We need to have a spiritual gauge. Do you have any joy? When our joy gets low, when our spiritual joy gets low, and mine does, I know I'm in trouble. Because you're open more to self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself, feeling hurt, feeling wounded. But when you get filled, you get strength again. So you must replenish and get filled. Now, this is something I learned this week. It's a lesson I want to learn from a caterpillar. These are called processionary. You know what a procession is? Procession is objects are moving along in an orderly, formal manner. These are processionary caterpillars. They march in columns. What makes this caterpillar, it's actually a family of moths. It's a horrific poisonous type of species. It's found in different countries, not in America as far as I know, but Europe, UK. It's very nasty. But they follow in lockstep the caterpillar in front of it. So sometimes if you were to look, it looks like a long snake. It's from the moth family. It can be poisonous. Hairy caterpillars, they live in communal webs and they march in columns to their food source. During the movement, each larva lays down a silken thread. They're dangerous to dogs. Dogs have had half their tongues cut out because of this, how dangerous they are. These processional caterpillars, the main thing is they follow a leader. Think of that. They follow a leader. Now, there was an experiment done by a Frenchman who placed a number of caterpillars in single file. See, here's a pot. And they put all of these in single file only on the rim. So they followed the rim. And they put food 6 inches away from these caterpillars to see if they would break away from the leader and their columns and feed themselves. Guess what? They all died because they kept following the leader. The leader led them nowhere. And this is what we have to, we can't follow men. you're gonna die if you're trying to follow some of these ear-tickling prophets that are going to heaven every other day and they got a word from God for you every single day. Get your own word.
Amen.
I've learned not to follow those people. So the experiment was done by this Frenchman who placed a number of caterpillars in single file around the edge of the pot's rim. Each caterpillar head touched the caterpillar in front of it. Then, since 6 inches away, they put their favorite food in the middle of the circle, in the middle of the pot. Each caterpillar followed the one ahead of them, thinking it was heading for the food. Round and round and round it went for 7 days. After a week of this mindless activity, the caterpillar started to drop dead because of exhaustion and starvation. All they had to do to avoid death was to stop circling the flower pot and head towards the food, less than 6 inches away. Caterpillars were locked into this lifestyle and never broke out of the circle. We do the same thing when we don't go to God for ourselves. When you don't have a personal relationship, when you get hurt, pour your heart out to God. I dealt with someone a few weeks back, and they had so much anger in them. I saw suppressed anger that was so deep. You can't pretend you don't have frustrations. You can't pretend that you're not disappointed. You're going to end up weird. And that's what these faith preachers do. I remember this, a famous one. Sad, he actually came to our church many times. He said, he did a message on how never to be hurt again. He had a formula to never be hurt. I say, die then. Just die. There's no way you're not going to be hurt again. You can't control people. You can't even control yourself sometimes from that second piece of pie. How are you going to control somebody else? Well, he had a message on never to be hurt again. And I thought that was odd because it wasn't too much longer that his own daughter turned him into jail because he slapped her or beat her or something. And he ended up in an orange suit. And I thought, isn't that interesting? How you got to practice this stuff. This isn't easy to preach. It's easy to say, how never to be hurt again. Well, that's not even the gospel. Jesus had to deal with all sorts of weirdos. And so do we. Anyway, I want to close. Hopefully we have a little humor in the midst of all this. 2 Timothy 2 says, verse 3, we must endure hardness. We've been enduring softness. We've been pumped up. Your best life now. Everything's going to happen to you. Just sow a seed and you're going to have this great. We've been taught so many false doctrines. And then when you start to come out of it and you start exposing it, you're the enemy now. They're mad at you. How dare you touch the anointed? Well, they weren't anointed to begin with. They're false teachers. Amen. So we have to endure hardness as a good soldier. People can't handle truth. When you come out of the matrix of this world, you're going to seem, and there are weirdos, trust me. I mean, there's people that are just, but when you come out and you start seeing truth, it's not hard. It's in plain sight. Many of the things they're doing now, they're telling you, but you don't believe it. It's in plain sight. It's bad when it's out in it's in plain sight of what they're going to do to you. And you say, oh no, you know, I just trust all these people. Well, you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier because there's going to be a turn of where Christianity is going to be very persecuted. It always has been. That's why all these things have been here to try to get you away from the true gospel, and they put in a word of faith or a something or other or a prophetic word, all this to get you away from the real Bible and get your eyes on man and to get your eyes on yourself. And being a true Christian isn't about us, it's about him. It's picking up our cross. It's denying ourselves. It's denying what we want many times and doing what the will of God is. But God gives us a choice, and we want to choose him, even as these times do get darker. So we have to endure hardness as a soldier. We're in a war. We've been in a fluff boot camp. Come and get blessed. Sit in the front row and watch your favorite entertainer. And we haven't been trained on how to stand. What happens when this happens? Or this? Are you a soldier? Have you been in boot camp? Do you know how to handle climbing a wall to get out of a ditch? Do you know how not to be offended? Do you know how to stand? All these things that are basic 101 Christianity have not been taught. So there's many Christians that love God, but they're flimsy. They're in diapers. They're in pacifiers. They don't know how to stand. They don't know how to burp. They don't know how to fluff. They don't know how to do nothing. Seriously, we've trained a bunch of people You can take that out if you want. We've trained a bunch of people not to know how to be a soldier. Amen. We're God's soldier. We're not following a church. So your church closed. That doesn't mean you stop serving God. I'm glad I got you to laugh. I did that on purpose. You must endure hardness as a good soldier. We were taught to avoid pain. If you're in pain, you don't have any faith. And the ones that taught this escaped secretly to hospitals outside of the United States so they wouldn't be found under different names, amen, which is called lying. Pain, we want to avoid it, ignore it, deny it, escape it. But it comes to all of us in different ways. Some of us are suffering now in different ways. Your jobs, your families, traveling, you can't see people you want to see. That's hard. That's hard. The whole life as we know it has stopped and it's changed. The most physical pain that I've ever had is when I broke my wrist and they put a fixator in my wrist, metal, had to do surgeries. It was just terrible. It was painful. And then I thought, oh good, that's over. I had no idea about rehab, how long it was going to take to restore my wrist to use again. And one of my friends that worked with me at the time, she said, I didn't want to tell you. It takes way over a year before you're going to feel like using that wrist again. It was like, oh, such a long period of time. It was pain and suffering. But I went through it. I can use my wrist now, but it wasn't fun. But nobody told me. They didn't want, oh, we don't want to make you feel discouraged. We're not going to tell you how much it hurts. Do you know how much it hurts to break a bone? If you've not broken a bone, please don't. It's just very, very painful. There's just nothing like breaking a bone. And I broke mine in church. Praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, that was horrible. I got my heel stuck in a pot dancing. And I fell, and to get it, I fell on my hand. And then I thought, you know, I'm not even going to go into that. That's a total another story, but it's painful. And the people that had broken things before me didn't come along and just say, you know, you're going to need this, you're going to need help with this. They're just like, oh, you're fine. They throw a scripture at you. Don't you love that?
Yeah, that's helpful.
You're blessed. You're healed. I'm like, I'm not healed right now. I hurt. I hurt. I hurt a lot. What fake Christianity have we developed in people that they don't know what war is because they've been in the wrong war. They've been in thinking that it's all about me and I have to be happy. They're going to come into a great shaking in this hour when Christianity starts being persecution for the Bible and the things that we've seen and heard of in the past. So we want to avoid pain, but we need to learn to play with pain. As far as I know, I don't think I ever missed a message. I kept preaching. I kept preaching. I kept standing. I kept doing things. A lot of people, they make the biggest excuses of not serving God. Well, I'm not going to do this anymore because I got offended by so-and-so. Well, we're supposed to be serving the Lord, and we can't let these little offenses get us. Oh, we've all been offended. I could write books, being in the ministry over 40 years. I could write books about offense. I could tell you the biggest jerks, who they are, what they did, but we're not supposed to do that. Oh, we could all write a book. Could you write a book? Yes. What do? You play with pain. You play with pain. Pain of conflict and the fatigue of battle. And I want to remind you in closing here, we are engaged in a struggle with eternal consequences.
That's right.
Guard your heart with all diligence. Matthew 24:10, sign of the end times, many shall be offended. You get a dose of this is not what I expected. This is not what I expected. Offended, betrayed. Many shall be offended and betray and pursue one another with hatred. So sad, people that you once loved now hate you and they pursue you with hatred, being offended. So what do? If you pursue hatred, you're going to be worn out. You're going to be tired. Acts 24:16, herein do I exercise myself. Exercise is not fun. An exercise means you have to develop muscles. Herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Towards God, Lord, how come you allowed this to happen? Where were your angels that day? How come I broke my wrist? When you're in those kind of messages that nothing bad's ever supposed to happen to you, you have questions.
Yeah.
Things arise, you don't know, nobody knows how to answer you. They just give you another scripture. So you have to deal with offense of people that didn't tell you the truth, of people that tried to make serving God just so fun that, you know, now you just add God onto your life. They don't let you know that you're in warfare. You were out of the kingdom of darkness, and that darkness wants you back. We want you to serve the devil again. So there's a battle between your flesh. You're in a battle. So I want to encourage everybody, when we get battle fatigue, number one, you're not alone. Moses was tired. Eliezer got tired. You're going to get tired, but stay filled. Take a break. Take a mind break. Shut the news off. Sometimes shut your phone off. Sometimes I just have to say, I'm not going to answer that call. Take a break when you need it. Don't feel guilty. I think that's one thing religion does. It's make everyone feel guilty. Feel guilty. Feel shamed. Feel shamed. God doesn't do that. Take a break when you need it. Say no when you have to say no. And don't feel guilty about putting up boundaries. Amen. Father, we thank you. There's so many people that are discouraged today, and I just wanted to encourage myself and everyone else in the times that we're living in, that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.